Yesterday, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office released its report on the Senate Republicans' version of the health care bill. Their numbers show that the effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act would cause about 22 million more Americans to be uninsured by the end of the coming decade. The report also showed this bill would reduce federal spending by $321 billion during that time.
Today, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told senators he's going to delay a vote on the health care bill until after the Senate's week-long July 4th recess, contrary to their original plans. Here he is talking to the press today.
Legislation of this complexity almost always takes longer than anybody else would hope. But we're going to press on. We think the status quo is unsustainable for all the obvious reasons we've discussed over and over and over again.
Tom Oliver joins us now. He's a professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
So what is your take on how this CBO report on the Republican health care bill went over yesterday?
Well, it's just a signpost in a long process that tries to put a nonpartisan scorekeeping or referee kind of thing in this process that sort of says, to the best guesstimate of experts, health economists and policy analysts who've looked at the impact of changes in the health system over a number of years, where will this be over a period of time? And they have a 10-year window to look at. So what the CBO is reporting on is how this specific piece of legislation, not the one that passed the House a few weeks ago, how will this one come out in the wash in terms of the number of people uninsured, the number of people paying more, number of people paying less for health insurance, and a variety of other things that have impacts on our health system and obviously on population health as a whole.
You use the term tries to put a nonpartisan scorecard out there. It's interesting because at this state, President Trump has cast some doubt on whether or not this is an accurate measure from the Congressional Budget Office. So what do you think about how accurate the measure is?
Well, you can't be precise in estimating the impact of anything on a $3.5 trillion annual health care spending in our country. But the Congressional Budget Office has a better track record than just about any other analysts, and it's also officially something that Congress has to accept. The people serve both Republicans and Democrats, and so obviously on both sides you'll hear a lot of spin and a lot of potential exaggeration or, you know, misinterpretation of what's being said. But the CBO is a important thing for people to look at and say, again, what do experts actually have to say about what's likely to happen?
And we heard just a bit ago Senator Mitch McConnell saying this is complex legislation and sometimes it takes longer than those involved would like. And so there's been a delay on the vote on this bill. Were you surprised to hear that?
Well, I guess it depends what I'm surprised. I know the Republicans really have spent so many years criticizing the Affordable Care Act and its impact. They feel very compelled to come up with a vote and then come up with the differences, you know, figure out how they can get the House and Senate together and push through something to, follow up on their election promises. The thing about it taking a long time is a little bit silly because they've done all this in just a couple of months. The Affordable Care Act, it took over a year and a couple of months to go through hundreds of hearings and hear from experts and testimony. They accepted a lot of amendments. None of this has been allowed on the House or Senate floor, and so it's really being slammed through as quickly as possible. But they've now run up against the fact that they don't quite have 53 votes in the Senate, if necessary, to push it through.
And we have a little bit from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on this.
CBO's report today makes clear that this bill is every bit as mean as the House bill. This CBO report should be the end of the road for Trump care. Republicans would be wise to read it like a giant stop sign, urging them to turn back from this path that would be disastrous for the country, for middle-class Americans, and for their party.
So we do have this delay in the vote, maybe not a full stop from Republicans, but do you think this CBO report is part of the reason that we're seeing this delay and could see further maybe changes to the bill before a vote?
Well, yeah, the information that comes out, again, the best that we can get from experts who presumably don't have a direct stake in the outcome and are trying to, you know, tell as best as possible what the truth is about these things. It's a stop sign because it's creating reactions on both sides, more liberal and more conservative sides. The reason you can't go to a vote in the Senate is because a number of senators, including Senator Johnson from Wisconsin, think it still preserves too much of the Affordable Care Act and some of the help that came to people to get insurance in the private insurance market as well as in the Medicaid. And there's also a couple of senators who are a little more squeamish, sort of more toward the middle of the political spectrum, most notably Senator Collins from Maine. This does affect hundreds of millions of people in this country. I mean, almost everybody would have some personal impact as to what's going on here. From everything from hundreds of dollars to thousands and thousands of dollars every single year for individuals or families. And so that's why I think there's a little bit stepping back, because they are hearing from normal people who might be ordinarily wanting to support Republicans, but this is something that's coming home potentially to roost with their families, particularly families with someone with chronic conditions, severe disabilities, mental health conditions. 30% of people with opioid addiction, which is now across the entire country, are getting Medicaid coverage. Half of all births in this country are to mothers who have Medicaid coverage. These things, which are built in as major rollbacks in the proposed legislation, could really wake up people as to what might happen to them and their ability to get affordable, quality health care.
We're talking with Tom Oliver right now from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about the Congressional Budget Office's new report on the Senate Republicans' health care bill. And Tom, you said that this bill is going to impact everybody. Let's get into some of that impact. Again, the CBO reporting that 22 million more people would be without insurance by 2026. Where do you see the greatest impact? Who gets impacted the most?
Well, right out of the starting gate, about 15 million people would be projected to lose coverage in the first year if this particular version of healthcare reform became law. Then ultimately, as you noted in your the news, up to 22 million. So that puts us right back where we were in the middle of the Great Recession, where almost 50 million Americans didn't have insurance coverage. So we've made a lot of progress since then. And now those people are facing the likelihood that either coverage at no cost if they're very low income, or coverage at somewhat less cost if they're lower to middle income, would be threatened. That what happens in these both the House and Senate law bills is that the premiums for very young, healthy people would go down somewhat. But if you already have some existing conditions, or you're older and you're lower or middle income, you are likely facing higher premiums and out-of-pocket costs, sometimes to the tune of many thousands of dollars. So if you're, say, 58 years old and you don't have access to a large group insurance plan, your costs could go up by well over $10,000 every single year under this bill compared with the subsidies available under the Affordable Care Act.
And this report also stating that the Senate bill would reduce the federal deficit by $321 billion by 2026. How does it get there?
Well, that's a lot of money, but in perspective, that's less than 1% of national health care spending per year over that time. So we spend well over $3 trillion a year as a nation. And so this is really slicing off a tiny bit of what we spend as a country. But how it gets there is very large savings from the federal government has been paying the states almost all of their costs for expanding Medicaid coverage by, 10, 15 million people have gotten that expanded coverage. So it pulls back on that, back to its normal cost sharing over the next few years. And then at the same time, it cuts the percentage, it cuts the amount per person per year on Medicaid that would go to the states. And so that's where, over a very short period of time, that cap begins to cut into the expected amount of money that would be going to the states. You have to keep in mind that one out of five people in this whole country are now on Medicaid. It's not just for low-income people. There's a lot of medium income people and others who have some serious health conditions so that keeps them from working and so forth. They're really relying heavily on Medicaid. So it cuts back on Medicaid, and that begins to affect the program that provides long-term care support for nursing homes if you need it. It provides mental health. It provides a lot of dental health for individuals. So there's a lot of things that go out if Medicaid gets cut. The other side of that is it doesn't save as much money as it might because it gives back tax cuts to health insurance plans and also very high-income individuals who are contributing towards the expanded coverage in the Affordable Care Act.
Tom Oliver is with us right now from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about the Congressional Budget Office's new report on the Senate Republicans' health care bill.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this new report, about the direction the Senate is going on health care? What would you like to see happen? How would it all affect you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation and get to your calls in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our discussion now about the CBO report on the Senate Republicans' health care bill, which shows an estimated 22 million more people would be uninsured by the end of the coming decade. Senator McConnell, Republican leader from Kentucky, just delayed the vote on the health care bill until after the Senate's week-long 4th of July recess.
Tom Oliver is with us from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You could join in with your thoughts and your questions at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Jerry on the line with us in Armstrong Creek. Jerry, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
My comment is I want to dispel this fiction about if you create competition that the cost is going to go down. Because when you're trying to use a business model, No business that sells a product or a service can give that product away for free. When somebody gets hurt or gets into an accident and they don't have insurance or can't pay the bill, they're still going to get care, and that's going to get paid for by someone, and that someone is going to be everybody else that pays for insurance, and that's going to actually increase the cost. So using a business model in healthcare just doesn't work.
Jerry, thanks for that. And Tom, what do you say to that? Jerry, you're saying the business model with competition between insurance carriers is not going to work here.
Well, by and large, I completely agree with Jerry. The thing that actually reduces costs for everybody is to build very large pools so that you have young and old, you have healthy and not very healthy people all in a very large pool, and that's what these health insurance exchanges were intended to do. And that allows insurers to, spread the risk and also be a lot more sure about what their costs are going to be. So the philosophy of standing on your own 2 feet for almost all of us is really unsustainable the minute we get sick. And as Jerry pointed out, if we get sick and we can't pay our bills and the charges, if you've ever seen them, from the healthcare system are very substantial, then that does tend to be passed on to others across the system. So it's really, do we want everybody in it and we're sharing up front, or do we want to sort of get at it very backwards?
Jerry, thank you for that call. And we're going to go next to Thomas in Richland Center. Thomas, hi.
Howdy. My comment was about the insurance itself. When about in 2015, I was looking at, me and my wife were looking at getting insurance. And we ended up finding insurance that was actually cheaper than going through a approved Obamacare insurance. And then, but it was not covered, it wasn't approved by Obamacare. So therefore, at the end of the year, I would sit there and be, me and my wife would both still get hit with a penalty for not having approved insurance.
Thomas, thank you for that, that story there. Tom, what do you make of that? Tom saying the exchanges didn't yield what they were supposed to for him, and he ended up getting dinged with a fine.
Well, Thomas is in a boat with a few other million Americans, but not a very large proportion of Americans. So what you were able to do, I think because you probably had some good health in your family, was get hold of old plans that didn't have to cover as many benefits as the Obamacare requirements. And so you could get a good deal on that. But, of course, if you did get sick, then those plans would become very, very expensive, and you'd probably be better off going into the exchange. But this is, again, a philosophical thing about how much should we have everybody operating under the same rules. And to the extent there's some plans that can be much thinner in their coverage and others much more comprehensive, we're going to end up splitting the risk, and as long as you're young and healthy or just healthy, you'll get really good deals. But as soon as you have some pre-existing conditions or have some significant health care needs, you're going to be thrown into this other much more expensive pool. And that's the question then, are there subsidies to cover and make it affordable?
Tom, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Very complicated, but I hope we can have more conversations like this as we go along.
Appreciate your time, and I'm sure we'll talk further. That was Tom Oliver, professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, joining us there to talk about the new CBO report on the Senate Republicans' health care bill and the delayed vote on that bill.